Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is English actor and crime fiction author Robert Dawes. He's best known for his various television roles, including Tuppy Glossop in Jeeves and Worcester. We've chatted numerous times over the years, mainly on The Book Show, as he has a best-selling crime series set in Gibraltar. But today we'll be talking about his starring role in William Humble's witty, charming and dark one-man play, Woodhouse in Wonderland, marking 50 years since P.G. Woodhouse's death. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hannah Murray, well, how delightful to be talking to you again.
Oh, lovely to be chatting with you, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sitting here in a hotel room in Manchester.
How nice.
Well, I'm up here with my wife's filming up here at the moment. My daughter's just back from university. So we headed up to Manchester. We're spending a couple of nights up here. Oh. And very nice it is too. The sun is actually shining.
No, I don't believe you.
I never thought I'd see the day in all my years of coming to Manchester. I never thought I'd see the day. But it's out and it's lovely.
Oh, nice one. Enjoy. I was trying to work out how many books there's been now in the Gibraltar crime series. Four, five?
I'm afraid to say there's only three, but the fourth one is within a hair's breadth of being finished. It's taken me a very long time to get to the fourth one because I've been sidetracked, because I've been doing too much acting. you'd never normally hear an actor complaining, and I'm not really, as you know, but I've been sort of distracted by thespian duties, but I'm cracking on. I get back from Edinburgh in September, and I have been told by my publisher, who has decided to camp outside my front door until the final manuscript is delivered. So there we are.
Oh, brilliant. It
will be out soon, and I'm looking forward to finishing it because it's been a lovely story to work on.
Yes, and exciting to be at the Edinburgh Festival this summer.
Yes, well, it's been a long journey with this play, Woodhouse in Wonderland, which your listeners will no doubt know is about the great P.G. Woodhouse, otherwise known to friends and family as Plum. People say, why was he called Plum? And the answer to that, and it's revealed in the play, is that his name was Pelham. He was christened Pelham, Grenville Woodhouse. But as a child, he could never pronounce Pelham. And when he tried, he went Pelham, 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 Plum. So everyone called him Plum.
I like it. Love a story like that. And and this play pretty much came about through you. It was your idea, getting in touch with your friend and screenwriter, playwright William Humble, trying to get it all to happen.
Well, yes, it sort of goes back to a conversation I had several years ago with Stephen Fry. And Stephen, who I'd done the series Jeeves and Worcester with and had a wonderful time on that, we were talking about how we loved the stories and the books and what a genius we thought Woodhouse was. And he said, well, do you know, it's interesting, not many people know much about him. They know there was a bit of a scandal during the Second World War, but he was an intensely private man and kept himself very much to himself and had an extraordinary work ethic of total and utter discipline. And in that, his wife, Ethel, known as Bunny, Plum and Bunny, Ethel guarded this privacy, which allowed him to work. And he worked every single day. Weekends were work days as well. He'd get up 7:30, do his daily dozen stretches, which he did for over 60 years to keep fit, and sat down at his typewriter, worked through the morning, went for a walk in the afternoon, worked through the afternoon, stopped for a martini and a bath at 5:15, and worked evening as well. So that was his life, and he guarded it preciously and absolutely adored it. And as such, we now are the beneficiaries of his extraordinary prolific range of novels and short stories. As well. So, yes, so Stephen set us on the route, as it were, and I sort of pondered over this, and eventually I phoned William Humble, and I said to Bill, look, are you interested in working on a solo show about P.G. Wodehouse? And he said, I don't believe you've just called. He said, I've spent the last 2 years researching and writing a screenplay about the life of P.G. Wodehouse, and I've just been told 2 days ago that it's now not going to be made because another one is coming out. And so you've picked exactly the right time to ask. And 6 weeks later, Bill delivered the very first manuscript. So, yeah, and it's bittersweet going to Edinburgh because it was always our idea to go to Edinburgh. He wanted to go in this year because it's, as you know, the 50th anniversary of... Oh, if you could, it is anniversary, so some people call it celebration, but it's the 50th anniversary of Plum's death, very sadly. And also, very sadly, Bill William Humble died just before Christmas. So we are taking the play that he loved the theatre. You know, he was an award-winning screenwriter, but he loved working in the theatre. And so we go to Edinburgh, no doubt with his blessing, and missing him greatly. So, as I say, there's a bittersweet note to this whole thing, but we're so pleased that to be taking it there on Bill's behalf.
Yes. Oh, lovely. I'm sure he'll be with you there in spirit.
I have an image that both he and Plum will be somewhere in the heavens looking down with a glass of champagne or a martini, I would have thought, and hopefully toasting the whole process.
Yeah. And what's it like doing a one-man show? I mean, how does that compare to all the other stage work you've done?
Well, Tom described nerves very well. In one of his stories, I think, he described the whole nature of fears as wobbling from base to apex like a jelly in an earthquake. And I know Edinburgh is an earthquake territory, but I think I'll be feeling pretty much like that. Yes, it's fairly daunting, I have to say, because not only for the performer, but also for the audience, because, of course, there's no one else going to walk on to save the day or to actually give some sort of chance to see another face and listen to another voice, although the whole piece is full of many characters. I mean, we visit lots of... his characters, obviously Jeeves and Worcester and several others. So the whole play is populated by Plum's characters and indeed the great man himself. So hopefully people will... I mean, 2 years ago when we did it, we had an absolutely wonderful time. We did a national tour of the UK and it was great. And something you probably know, in the very early days... we were invited by the Gibraltar Literary Festival, and I came over and did a performed reading of the play there, and we had a terrific time. So this has been going on for 8 years now, and so this is really the year that it was all heading for. In fact, Bill Humble used to say, so by the time you actually get to... you'll be doing this, you'll be the actual age of Plum in the play. And he's now not far off.
Oh, because you're a regular at the Gibraltar Literary Festival, aren't you? Because of your connections with the book.
I have been very lucky. I've been there two or three times, and it's always a joy to go there. It's such a superbly organised festival, and the guests and writers that they have is just tremendous. It really is. So it's a thing of great joy. Whenever I did go over there, he's passed now also, but they used to do Just a Minute, a special festival.
Oh, yes, that was great, wasn't it?
Just a Minute. And so I did some of those, which was absolutely terrific too. Great fun. Terrified me. Absolutely. But very good training for doing a one-person show regarding dealing with one's nerves.
Yes, I bet. And I know fairly recently you were in the Cherry Orchard with Sir Ian McKellen. That must have been great fun.
I think I had one of the most wonderful times in theatre that I've ever had, actually. It was great. One, it's a great play. But then when you have a company which included so many fine actors, veterans and younger, including, of course, Ian and We had Jenny Seagrove, Francesca Annis, Martin Shaw. I mean, it was a wonderful cast. So, yes, we had a lot of fun doing that play. And it really is a wonderful play to do, as anyone who's been to see it or been fortunate enough to be in it will tell you. So, yes, that was a particular highlight of the last couple of years.
And am I right in saying we're going to be seeing you soon on the screens as Winston Churchill?
Yes. Well, yes, this is the Winston Churchill year, apart from Plum. They're all coming out of the woodwork this year. I play Winston Churchill in a series called Outrageous, which the first series is out at the moment, which is all about the Mitford sisters. Winston was, in actual fact, a second cousin of the Mitfords. And quite a lot to put up with, it has to be said. So that was absolutely terrific. But I'm also the face of, there's a new worldwide international channel coming out called Channel Churchill, which is dedicated to Winston Churchill's films, both dramatically shown in series with actors playing Winston Churchill, and fine documentaries about his life. And so they wanted a sort of an Alistair Cook type person to introduce each film and introduce the channel. And I said, Alistair Cook, what do you mean? I said, well, why don't you think of Winston Churchill? So they said, what a great idea. So I've been playing Winston Churchill in that, and that's going to be out in the autumn. So the channels will be clogged with doors playing win. So there we go.
Oh, fabulous. And over the years, you've obviously got a way of doing it, but is there a way that you've found that's the easiest to learn your lines? Do you have a method?
Well, it's interesting this, because I've been having a conversation with my daughter, my youngest daughter, May, who is also appearing on the Edinburgh Festival this year.
Oh, so how wonderful.
At the same time, she's coming up with a university play, a new play, a wonderful play called The Glass House, which is on at the Olive Street Studio in George Street in Edinburgh during the last week. So she's busy learning her lines, and I'm busy relearning my lines. So is there a tip? No, you just have to go at it. You really do. There's no shortcut, really. You just have to just keep on going. The difficulty is, I think, is that it's not like learning for an exam or something like that, because you can learn it, but you also then have to act it and perform it. It has to literally, you have to be interpreted. So the two things are quite separate in a way, and obviously you can't do one you can't do the second performing without actually having learned it in the first place. So I'm just about to go into sort of stand-up rehearsals, as I call them. I've been sitting around driving everyone nuts with my script in hand, walking around in a semi-trance for the last week and a half. But now we go into the rehearsal room this week, which means it really is just standing up and getting on with it. And that's when the real work begins and the real discovery, and things come out differently. And it's a bit rehearsing, and it's always very exciting. And so I'm really looking forward to Thursday and Friday this week in Covent Garden, where I'll be rehearsing.
Oh, great. Yeah, you've got to know your lines so well that you can act without thinking about the lines.
Absolutely. And not only that, of course, as with all acting, you know, you've got to, it's very often what people say and what characters say is not actually what they're thinking. And so you've not only got to learn the lines and know what their intention is when they speak, but you've also got to know, you know, what they're really thinking inside, and whether they're just using the language or that they're using to actually get something or back off from something or tell a joke or whatever. You've got to know exactly what the character is going on in the character's mind as well, and that doesn't always tie up with what they're saying. So that again is an untangling process that has to be done with any script or any character you're working on.
Yeah. And do you find it harder when it is just you and you're learning, you know, big speeches compared to learning lines that are interspersed with other people's lines?
No, I sort of, I mean, the way I can remember, I ran a company with a wonderful actor called Peter Barkworth in the 80s, and he did a one-man show about Siegfried Sassoon. And I can remember asking him, I went to see, and he was wonderful in it. And I said, goodness me, I said, how do you, you're doing this one-man show, is it terrifying? And he said, well, strangely enough, I'm of an age now where it's slightly more terrifying being on stage with other actors because you don't want to let them down. Mm. And if I let anyone down while I'm doing my solo show, it's just me. So at the time, it went way over my head. I didn't really understand what he meant. But boy, do I now. So, yes, you have a sort of freedom, and I guess, and I did it 2 years ago, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. There were a couple of moments in the early stages of the tour when the mind went blank. But somehow, I don't know how it happens. We don't have a prompt, you see, as most theatres do. There's no one shouting out the line.
Oh, wow. And
so you really do have to find your way out of it. And fortunately, I did. So I'm touching wood left, right and centre here, Hannah, in the hope that I'm not... I think you find a way out of it.
Yes.
I know this so well. I know the man so well that even if you go off-piste a little bit, you can actually wend your way back to the slope and carry on skiing.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, the fact that people aren't waiting for their cue from your lines, if you say deliver them in a slightly different order, it doesn't really matter.
With no actor on stage, there will be a rather confused-looking stage manager on all the controls who will be a little vexed, I feel. But in this, of course, it's also full of songs, Woodhouse in Wonderland.
Oh, because, lovely.
As many people don't seem to know, is before he even wrote his first Jeeves and Wooster novel, he was one of America's leading lyricists on Broadway. In fact, he was so well known, he was one of the people who created the American musical at the beginning of the through the in the 1920s. At one time, in fact, he was working with people like Jerome Kern and Guy Bolton and George Gershwin and Cole Porter, and it was quite extraordinary. At one time, he had 5 shows running simultaneously on Broadway, and that's a record that still hasn't been broken, not even by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice.
That's amazing.
So we have his songs, and we've worked with wonderful Hal Caslett, who's P.G. Woodhouse's great-grandson, who is a marvellous singer and musician, and he curated the songs that he thought would be appropriate for the show. And so I get to sing them, not as well as Hal, he's got a marvellous voice, but they are beautiful songs. So it's not just the words and the characters from the books and stories. It's the beauty of Plum's lyrics as well.
Yes. And I suppose that you can tell us, but the difference between acting for television and acting on stage, obviously with TV you can retake, so you've got that pressure doing it to a live audience on the theatre, but at the same time with the theatre you get that reaction, you get the feedback, you get the applause at the end of it, which you don't get on telly, I suppose.
Well, yeah, that's quite right, Hannah. I mean, it's particularly exciting, that thing. Actors wax on about it all the time, and understandably to some degree, there's something about a live audience that is you don't get in any other medium, really. So that is always exciting. You don't get the chance to go again. You have to fight your way out of it, as I just mentioned. And even in this day, I mean, I do a lot of television and film. If you go again, such as schedules and such as the pressure that no one likes it. It used to be, oh, we'll just do it again. Can we do another one? But, schedules are very tough now. So you, even when you're doing film and television, you are desperately not trying to, as Dennis Norden used to say, cock up. making it sound like a very tough world. It's not. It's still great. It's still great fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the main thing. Well, if people want to see you in this role as P.G. Woodhouse in Woodhouse in Wonderland, you are going to be at the Tabard Theatre in West London from the 20th to the 22nd of July before heading to Assembly George Square Studios at Edinburgh Festival Fringe from the 30th of July to the 24th of August, then returning to the Tabard Theatre at the end of August.
We are. We're previewing just before we go, which is lovely. And the Tabard is a lovely theatre in Chiswick, so we're delighted to be there. So we're getting previewing, so we're absolutely top hole and spiffing. And then when we finish, we arrive in Chiswick on top of a double-decker bus, hopefully, waving the cap and cup and doing another four performances there, which is lovely. That's just the icing on the cake.
Yes, great stuff. Well, enjoy it, Robert. I hope it all goes well, and always lovely to chat with you, Robert Dawes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Anna. Lovely talking to you too. Bye now.